It was 1950, San Francisco. I was 21, a single mother, and music was my refuge. I'd listen, headphones on, crawl into the spaces between the notes, curl my back to loneliness, and put my arms around the shoulders of the song. As we danced, glued together, I would nuzzle into its neck, kissing the skin, rubbing its cheek with my own.
Marguerite.
Mm?
You've a customer.
Oh.
I'd been working at the Melrose Record Shop on Fillmore for a few months.
He's back again.
The white military man cut a strange figure, walking around a black neighborhood in broad daylight.
Do you have Cheers?
Cheers?
I thought he was asking about some white crooner.
Can you remind me who cut it? It slipped my mind.
Charlie Parker.
Oh, of course, sir. Do you want me to play it for you?
I already heard it. You got any Dexter Gordon?
No. How about a Dave Brubeck?
In other words, how about you stick to your own music?
No, thanks. I'll take Dizzy Gillespie's Night in Tunisia.
Tosh had been discharged from the Navy and found a job as an electrician. He had taken a room in the Negro neighborhood and came to the record store every single day.
You hear that? That is the sound of ancient pain. It gets you, don't it?
Tosh, how come you like black people so much?
I don't like black people.
How can you say that when you're always listening to our music?
I don't like blacks, Jews, Irish, or Orientals. I'm Greek, and I don't like them either.
Tell me, Tosh, why do you dislike people so much?
Not to like people is not the same as to dislike them. I like you. What do you do on your day off?
I take my 5-year-old to the park. He insists that we take fresh air.
Ah, the man of the house. He like ball games?
Clyde is more philosopher than sportsman.
A boy should play ball games. I'll come to the park with you and teach him.
We went to parks, the beach, and dinners together. He even took Clyde out on his own.
We had fun, Mom. We rode the cable cars, and he's going to take me to the zoo next week.
Is he?
And he likes Fluke.
Oh, really? He can see him?
Of course not, but he knows that I can.
Marguerite, your coffee's getting cold.
I'll be out in a minute. Good night, Clyde. Sleep tight.
Good night, Mom. You know he's in love with you, don't you?
Clyde. What do you know about love?
You love me, don't you?
From the bottom of my heart to the moon and back.
So that's how I know about love.
I didn't let Tosh know. I knew he was courting me through my son.
He's sleeping?
Just about.
Here's your coffee.
Thank you. That's good.
Can you read fortunes, Marguerite?
Oh, not that I know of.
Why don't you try? Read my palm.
All right. Let's see. You are going to be a great musician and be very wealthy and live a long, rich life.
And do you see where I'm going to be married?
Of course. He was in love with someone else.
Your love line is very faint. I'm afraid I don't see a marriage in your future.
Seems to me your crystal ball is a little cloudy, because I am going to be married, Marguerite. I'm going to marry you.
Mother urged caution.
How can you even consider it? What the hell is he bringing you? The contempt of his people and the distrust of your own? That's a hell of a wedding gift.
And I was bringing him, a mind crammed with a volatile mixture of insecurities and stubbornness, and a 5-year-old son who had never known a father's discipline.
Do you love him?
Did I love him?
Then tell me why.
I had never been found attractive by middle-class Negro men, since I was neither pretty nor fair-skinned, well-off, or educated.
Oh, answer me. Just why are you going to marry him?
Why am I going to marry him? Because he asked me, Mother. Because he asked me.
You'd be so nice to come home to.
Tosh was a better husband than I had dared to dream.
Oh, they're beautiful.
A rose for a rose. Mmm, that smells delicious. What is it?
A pot roast. Don't taste it till we sit down at the table.
That is delicious. Here, taste. On my lips.
You two kissing again? Why do you have to kiss so much?
Because it tastes good, doesn't it, Marguerite?
Mm. Oh, Daddy, that's so yucky.
What'd you just call me?
You are my daddy now, aren't you?
I am the luckiest man in the world to have such a clever boy and such a beautiful, clever, finger-licking wife. Mwah!
You'd be so, so cold when I should come home.
The words of the song had come true. Our home life was an Eden of constant spring. And yet it wasn't long before Tosh became convinced that a serpent lay coiled just beyond our gate.
But why can't my friends come over?
Because you are smart and they are stupid. You can't trust them.
He wrapped us in a cocoon of safety. I made no protest that the bonds were closing around our existence.
But aren't we all children of God?
God? Listen, but God does not exist.
Yes, he does.
Prove it.
Well, Mom, tell him.
I knew I was a child of a God who existed.
Well, I can't actually prove that God exists, but...
Exactly. That's just what I was saying.
My great-grandmother, an enslaved woman, had gone deep into the woods to praise God in secret.
You might as well believe in fairies.
Brothers and sisters, I'm opening the doors to the church. Let him come.
And so I went on a secret crawl through neighborhood churches, changing church every month, afraid that if I became too familiar, someone might stop me in the street with Tosh and ask about last week's sermon.
I say, let him come, all those who will receive. Jesus, let him come. Won't somebody come?
He left the altar and took my hand.
Child, what church were you formerly affiliated with?
I couldn't tell him I had joined the Rock of Ages Methodist Church the month before, and the Lily of the Valley Baptist the month before that.
None.
Jesus, I have before me a child who has never known the Lord. A young woman trying to make her way in this cruel world. Come, Lord, and cast out the devil and save her soul.
I lay flat on the floor. I began to cry. I cried for my people, who found sweet release from anguish and isolation for a few hours on Sunday. For my fatherless son, who was growing up with a man who would never, could never understand him. For my mother, who I admired but didn't understand. And finally, I cried for myself.
Who the hell is Mother Bishop?
Mother Bishop?
A Mother Bishop called saying you owe $12 for your baptism robe. I told her that no one living here was going to be baptized anywhere, anytime.
I made no protest, gave no confession, and allowed a little more of my territory to be taken away. The sense that order was departing my life came to a head one morning.
Marguerite, fetch me a goddamn towel.
What's wrong, Tosh?
All the towels in here are wet. You know I hate wet towels.
Well, you never said.
Daddy, are you still in the bathroom? We're gonna be late. I'm gonna have to send Fluke in there to get you.
Shut your mouth with your goddamn Fluke and leave me alone.
Tosh! How dare you scream at my son like that?
Your son?
Who the hell do you think you are? A white-sheeted grand dragon of the Ku Klux Klan?
Watch yourself, Marguerite. You're crossing a line.
And who drew that line? We don't have friends round. You won't let me go to my church. And I tell you something. I'll slap you before I let you yell at my child again. What the hell has gotten into you, screaming at us like that?
I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, you sure as hell will talk about it. What have I done to you? What's the matter with you?
I've had enough of this. I'm going out.
You are going nowhere. I demand an explanation.
All right. All right, Marguerite. I think I'm just tired of being married.
My head pulsed, and my side was punished by short, hot stabs of pain.
What's wrong?
What?
Ah, God.
I was taken to hospital. I had an emergency operation for acute appendicitis. And a few days later...
How are you feeling? You look better today.
I feel better.
Doctor says you're going to be fine.
Am I?
We looked at each other. We both knew it was finished. I was going to recover, but the marriage was over.
Perhaps it's best for me to go and stay with my grandmother in Arkansas until I'm fully recovered.
Listen, I've something to tell you. I couldn't tell you before because you were sick.
What's wrong?
It's your grandmother.
What?
Marguerite, she died the day after your operation.
Oh, Mama.
You understand why I couldn't tell you, don't you?
Oh, my Mama.
She was always my Mama. My mind staggered out of balance. If I were rich enough to travel all over the world, I would never find Mama on this earth again. If I were good as God's angels and as pure as the Mother of Christ, I could never have Mama. Her rough, slow hands would never again pat my cheek or braid my hair. She was so strong and kind that for a long time, I used to think she was God.
What are you doing, Mom?
Go back to bed.
What was I doing? Months later, after Tosh had left and it was just Clyde and I again, I'd put him to bed, and I'd lock the doors, then put a chair against them.
Why are you doing that, Mom? He's not coming back.
Oh, it's not that. I've got to keep it out.
Keep what out?
Go back to bed, darling. You're safe.
Clyde would go back to bed, and I'd get a rising sense of panic.
Oh, dear Lord, help me. Keep me safe from... safe from...
And then suddenly it came to me. I was bolting and barricading the doors because I wanted to keep death out. Since losing Mama, I was so afraid. And until that moment, I didn't know why. It was one of the most important crossroads in my life. I thought, if I am going to do the most difficult and frightening thing ever, die, then maybe, in the meantime, I can do some seemingly impossible things that are good. I didn't know it then, but my life was about to change forever.